Sasha Frere Jones is the New Yorker's pop critic, and he may be one of those slang-using whippersnappers that Kai's referred to. Of course, in the pages of the magazine, he's a master explainer, charting the currents of pop culture for a broad audience. But when he blogs or twitters, he employs a lexicon that oldsters may find as tough to crack as the Enigma code, along the lines of, "Holy Narc basket on a wassa cracker," or, "We got caught in that ambient desk jazz traffic jam and then broke up just as Indy got its dance card back." Oh, yeah. But Frere Jones is always mindful of the medium when he chooses his words. For instance, at The New Yorker, he pays attention when the editor raises a question about a given cultural allusion, like the day he was writing about the band Arcade Fire.
And there are several moments in their music where they sound pretty much exactly like Echo and the Bunnymen. And it's not super important, but it felt weird to not mention it. The way it would be strange to talk about, let's say, Lady Gaga and not have a reference to Madonna. So anyway.
And I have no idea who Lady Gaga is.
Well, there, so there you go. You can't win. There was a moment where an editor actually said to the room in general, and people don't generally address everyone in the room at The New Yorker, but he said, "How many people here know Echo and the Bunny Band?" He didn't call them Echo and the Bunny Band. And enough people raised their hands. He said, "Okay, go ahead." But I understood his impulse was like, let's not alienate our readers. And in principle, I agree with him. I've got no stake in dropping a lot of names. Who cares? It's got to make sense. It's got to help you. And in this case, I thought the sound is really there in the voice. It's an unusual male voice. So I thought, you know, I should mention this.
And when conveying something that's art, the first impulse, it seems to me, would be to reach for a metaphor or
sure.
an analogy, and this is precisely where you run up against this reference issue.
Right. I can't say, you know, M is like early Pharaoh Monch cut with a little bit of Chino XL. It's not going to help anybody. You're writing hopefully for not just a wide audience, but hopefully in 100 years if somebody comes back and finds this article from the ashes of civilization where it's like WALL-E, and they crush all my work into a little box and somebody decodes it with a new infrared text reader.
And we all know the WALL-E reference.
WALL-E. I just watched Star Wars yesterday with my very sick child, and it's just amazing how WALL-E is R2-D2. Everyone knows. Wait a minute. There we go. Okay, there's a reference. Totally unplanned, I swear to God. But that would be an instance where not mentioning R2-D2 feels like I would not be doing my job.
So we can't wipe out our culture.
We don't want to alienate people. On the other hand, let me not coddle the reader. Like, get up, you know, use the internet. If you don't know what it is, figure out what it is. Bad writing is one thing, but a couple of references you don't know, well, maybe that's how you find out about that thing. Maybe it's that you love George Pelicanos or Richard Price. Well, if there's someone who is just as good as they are and really obscure, well, I'd kind of like to know who that is.
Yeah.
I might want to go to that person. And or if people don't know that George Simenon was one of the first people to write the Policier, okay, if you really love crime novels, maybe you should go check out this French dude. You might like him. You might not.
So you have this voice for The New Yorker, but you
right.
also have a couple of other writing voices. You've kept a personal blog since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
You've started tweeting. And in those outlets, you write in a way that's very different from your New Yorker style. It's dense, to me, with obscure references. Here's a posting from a couple of years ago I think you got a little flack from called "It's Off Tonight." Anyone expecting some kind of "lyrical gangbangs keep falling on my head" must take a quick sprint around the block, get some Frogurt, and find a new dream. Mr. Warwick's new album is dire boogie makeout piffle, and all Dr. Mr. Dre does is contribute 3 drum loops that I swear come off a sample CD.
I wonder what record I was talking about. Somebody responded to me last night and just said, "I don't get your tweets." And I thought, that's an interesting thing to say because, I mean, with something like Twitter or the web, you know, like a blog, I really do feel like, look, man, you don't have to look at it. And, you know, if it confuses you, stop reading it. Unfollow. Do whatever you want to do. It's fine. I'm not offended. Because I'm interested in what these things do, almost like instruments, which sounds a little bit corny, but...
You mean this new technology?
Yeah, I want to see what they do. The only way I'm able to figure out what they do is by using them. The web uses links intensely, which you can't do in print. You've got images. Twitter has this built-in limit, which affects the voice in an interesting way. Why not take it for a spin? I'm not going to get anywhere with my writing. It's not going to help me if I'm duplicating something I'm doing during the day. If I'm not letting the technology take me somewhere, then why am I using it?
But getting back to your paid gig, has there ever been a moment then where a cultural or a musical reference or a historical reference that is exactly right, it should be there, you had to leave on the floor and it still bothers you?
No. I hope I don't lean on them too much. But language, that's a whole different thing. There are times when I might want to be more figurative or metaphorical, or I might want to use a certain rhythm or a certain joke. You often think, boy, that was funny. And the editor usually, who's on the side of reason, says, it's just confusing. And, you know, you go home, I'll rack 'em. And the next day you realize, wow, that was, I'm glad we didn't use that one.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Sasha Frere Jones is The New Yorker's pop music critic. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Mike Buolo, Mark Phillips, Nazanin Rafsanjani, Michael Bernstein, and PJ Vogt, with more help from Ethan Scheel and Cara Gianfrido. This is Cara's last week with us, so thank you for everything and good luck. OTM is edited by me. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson and more engineering help from Zach Marsh. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl. Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. Bob Garfield will be back next week. I'm Brooke Gladstone.